You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the LockedOn.com website, as well as the Locked On NBA podcast, which would be conveniently located right there on the website, where you can also find this podcast. Great place to locate any of the podcasts covering the MLB, NBA, NFL, or college sports that the Locked On Network covers so very thoroughly. Make sure to go check out all those wonderful podcasts. And if nothing else, make sure after you're done listening here to check out the Locked On NBA podcast, a great way to get prepared for news around the NBA via the Locked On NBA podcast. Today, we're just going to be doing a pretty quick show. I know yesterday's show was a pretty long. Just going to get into some of the stuff last night, some of the stuff that we saw from the Timberwolves now that they're Jimmy Butler-less. Kind of a look at some of these guys right before we introduce some new talent as well. Good to see Teague back out there. We'll get into all this here, breaking down the game from the Brooklyn Nets. And then tomorrow we're going to get more into Pelicans, going to get more into Covington and Sarge joining the team, all that good stuff. But we'll save that for tomorrow's podcast. Today, we're just going to get into the Brooklyn Nets. So if you didn't see the game last night, the Timberwolves won. Finally, a win after a five-game losing streak on the road on the West Coast. They were able to pull out a victory, 120-113. The Timberwolves' biggest lead in this game was as many as 11. They came out, even though the Brooklyn Nets led in the first quarter 31-30, they came out firing, and then they had some big quarters. They had a big quarter coming out in the third quarter at halftime with 36 points, and they looked in control even when they didn't score more. Like in that first quarter, they were down by one after that first quarter, but they just looked to be more in control of the pace. Towns was insane in this game. He ended up with 25 points, 21 rebounds, just unleashing himself on the Nets. You had Derrick Rose with 23, Teague with 24. You had Andrew Wiggins with 13. You had Josh Okogie coming off the bench. He had 8. And Teague, too, from injury report I saw, it looked like he wasn't going to play. It looked like he was probably going to miss another game here. He ended up suiting up and playing 34 minutes and looking really good, jumped out to a rhythm really quickly, shot 57% from the field. So that was good to see. Good to see him back on the court. Really nice to have some of this full complement coming back together here, adding more talent, and you're getting another point guard back. All good things for the Timberwolves. So what went down? What was different about this game for the Timberwolves? What helped spur on this change? And before I get to any of that, I would just like to just have a Caris LeVert in your guys' hearts and minds, thoughts and prayers going out to him and to his family. If you were watching the game right before the half, just a really, really nasty Gordon Hayward type kind of injury to his ankle, lower leg. Really, really nasty. And for somebody, he was having a really great season, averaging, I believe, right around 20 points per game this season. Just a young guy in his third season. And he was averaging 18.4 points per game, by far his career best marks, really, in most categories: field goal percentage, rebounds, steals. So it's a a real shame. It's a real shame to see anyone get injured, but it's such a bummer for him really hitting his stride for a Nets organization that has been so hard pressed to find young talent with all their draft picks being gone the last few years. So really unfortunate for Caris LeVert. Hopefully he recovers quickly and comes back to 100%. Really unfortunate for their fan base. Is starved for young talent like his. And above all else, though, above all the basketball and stuff like that, just hope that he can get better quickly and that he has a speedy recovery and that he gets back to 100% as soon as possible. Our thoughts are with you, Caris LeVert. For what it's worth, we are all rooting for you here in Minneapolis to come back as quickly as humanly possible and that you're getting the best treatment as humanly possible. Thoughts and prayers again out there with Caris LeVert and with his friends and family as they're getting through a tough time. Injuries are always sucky and always a bummer to have to get through. So hopefully this process goes speedily and you're able to get back out to doing what you love very quickly. Yeah, a really, really nasty injury, and hopefully he returns soon. But so the parts of the game that weren't just really depressing and sad are the Timberwolves actually getting a win. How did they do this? Well, they got back to some of the things that started them getting out to wins early in this season, becoming successful early in this season. They played the bench a decent amount. You had Okogie with 19. You had Gorgie and Tyus Jones, 10, 13, respectively. Tolliver, 14 minutes. And all these guys pitching in combined with you're not playing your starters 40 minutes. And even, I think, your starters play less. Once you have Sarge, once you have Covington here, and either you have Covington starting and Sarge starting, or you have Covington and Taj starting, and then you have Rose and either Taj or Sarge and Okogie and Tolliver and Jones and Dang, that's your bench. That's a really solid bench. You want to get those guys minutes too. Those guys should be playing some pretty solid minutes as well. And so I really like that this team is getting back a little bit a little lighter load on the starters, getting some versatility in your lineups, getting some guys off the bench playing and contributing. But I think that could take another step here with the guys coming in and with some players. Derrick Rose has been crucial to this Timberwolves team. Derrick Rose has been crucial to helping this team win. So getting him back, I think, getting him on the bench, I think, will really help add more balance and add more creativity to this Timberwolves lineup. I also think a big thing last night was getting back to some fast break points, getting back to transition, being fast in the full court and not playing everything in the half court. They outscored Brooklyn 17-2 in fast break points. And I just think that this team runs at its best when they're playing faster and when they're taking advantage of other teams' half court defense or full court defense. And I think that if you're able to score quickly, the weapons that they have when you have a unicorn like Towns, when you have guys like Rose and Wiggins and Okogie that can get down the floor quickly, it's just unless you're playing teams like the Warriors, there's not a lot of guys that are going to be not a lot of units that are going to be really able to keep pace with you throughout a game when you're playing fast paced with those guys. And you had their pace, 104.5 was their pace mark last night. That's right about where you want it, just as far as what they've been averaging this season, right around that 106 mark. I think it's gone down a little bit over the last couple of games, but you want to be playing fast, and when you don't have a lot of good defense, you want to be getting out on top of another team, get them behind the eight ball a little bit, get them shooting some shots they don't maybe want to take to try and get back in games, because you're getting points quickly and putting them in a bad spot. That is key for this Timberwolves squad, and that'll be key for them going forward. Good to see them get back to some of that stuff. Also, the dominance of Towns, 25 points, 21 rebounds, like I said, but also two blocks and a steal. It's really good to see him take over a game. He shot 81% from the field. He shot 100% from three, 2 for 2. It's good to see him really take over a game. This is the version of Towns that you need now that he's the guy, right? I mean, you have the quotes and stuff and him taking a little bit of heat. And this is actually a good way to talk about or segment into how I think that some of the people give him heat because he's maybe letting Derrick Rose be the leader and he's not being the verbal leader. I think that he's one of those guys that's just going to go out and dominate a team on the court, but he's not really going to be a major vocal leader. I think there will be times when he is, but I don't think consistently he's going to be a major vocal leader, at least not now in his at this point in his NBA career. And that's a level of self-awareness I think is healthy, and I think it's better for players to try and really excel at what they can be and not try and morph into what they aren't for the sake of the team. Obviously, there's a level of this is a team sport. You want to try and fit into a system. You don't want to try and stand out and make the system fit into you. But as far as just leadership roles and as far as what goes on in a locker room, it's much healthier to when you have a guy like Derrick Rose, or you have guys like Taj Gibson or Teague, who not only can be the vocal leaders but kind of want to be in that role, step up and be in that role, in that leadership role. Go ahead and let them do it. Like, just because you're the most talented guy on the roster doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the super vocal leader. Lead with your actions. And when you're grabbing 21 boards and you're dominating on the glass and you're getting putbacks and you're throwing down on guys and being a guy who's going to add momentum, when you're throwing down DeMar Carroll, that's adding momentum. That's adding momentum to your team. And if that's what you want to be as a leader, if that's how you're going to lead this team, then go ahead. Be that leader. I don't know why he's taking heat for this. The Timberwolves have some vets on this team. They have some guys. I don't think leadership is going to be a problem. If Towns wants to lead with his actions, I think that's fine. I'm not sure why he's taking heat for that, but that is totally fine with me, and you saw that last night. This is the Towns that you need, the Towns that can dominate. He's going to stretch the floor. He's going to get guys playing out on the three-point line, knock down some threes and space the floor and give teams some weird looks defensively that they're going to have to try and match up with somehow. But he is also going to go down, and he is going to throw down, and he is going to own a team on the boards. He can do that. He did do that. That's the Towns you need to see going forward. He needs to be that guy every single night. He needs to be the guy who's dominant every single night and controls a game every single night. And that could look different, obviously. I'm not saying he has to average 21 boards, obviously, but he needs to dominate every night. He needs to control a game every single night because he's the guy now. He's the guy now. Wiggins is never going to be a number one guy. That's just you can be butthurt about it all you want because we paid it. The Timberwolves paid him a max contract, and if you think a guy who's getting max contract should be a number one guy, that's all opinions. He's never. I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten this newsflash yet, he's never going to be a number one guy. But Towns definitely can be, and I think if he continues to play, this is going to be right away, and he needs to dominate like a number one player, like a blue chipper. We've talked about this on the show before. Blue chip players, guys who are going to make the franchise, not help be there for the franchise. The guys who are going to make it. He's one of those guys. He needs to play like it. He needs to play like it consistently. We can't see flashes anymore. It's time to step up and do it. Let's go. All right. As far as the rest of the team, I know that the Timberwolves had a lot of turnovers, and that could be an area for concern. 23 turnovers is a lot. You're giving the opponent a lot of opportunities. Thank God Brooklyn only scored 12 turnover points because, oh my goodness, that could have gotten away from you quickly. But 23 turnovers, again, is an area for concern, but they shot 52%, so that's going to kind of balance it out. I don't think there's going to be many games where Towns has 10 turnovers. I don't think there's going to be many games where the Timberwolves have 23 turnovers. As far as turnovers, they're one of the better teams just playing it safe with the basketball. And so I think this is more of an outlier rather than a concern, rather than something that you need to pay attention to. I do like shooting 52%. That's what happens, too, when you have guys playing in their role, playing in a spot that they should be in. You had your guards. You had your point guards. They shot 3 of 8 from outside. Derrick Rose was 60% from outside. Towns was knocking down threes. He was taking the threes exactly when the defense was giving them up, and so he was being really smart with where he was taking threes. Taj didn't take any threes. Wiggins only took 3, and he was shooting 66%. I mean, you had Okogie and Anthony Tolliver go 2 for 8, but those guys are supposed to be stretching the floor, shooting threes. You want them stretching the floor, and if they miss a couple, I mean, it is what it is, but I feel like you had everybody in this game kind of playing in their role and not playing too far outside of their game. And so that's when you see stuff like 52% from the field and 43% from three. And so those are encouraging marks. And they only took 23 threes. And that number, that's going to spike when you add Covington and Sarge. And it has spiked. This is a team that averages 30 threes a game. But again, they weren't playing too far outside of themselves. They were getting looks, and they were taking advantage of what the defense was giving them. And I think it shows. They weren't playing super they weren't trying to stretch guys into different roles. Everybody was fitting in nicely, and they shot really well, and I think that's a pretty good indicator. They also got to the free throw line, which is something on that road trip. At times, they didn't get to the free throw line enough. 31 free throw attempts, shot 83% from that mark. Just a really encouraging bounce back game. They desperately needed this game. I mean, and across the board, too, they were dominant. If you're looking at all these stats, shot so much better than the Nets. The Nets shot 39%, out-rebounded the Nets 52-42, they were able to, I mean, turnovers, obviously, is the one that they were lacking in, but they were able to grab some blocks. They had 6 blocks as a team to the Nets, too, ended with a 7 plus-minus. It was a solid performance, and it was one of those weird games, right, where it could have flipped. Actually, I'll get to that in a second. First, I'm going to take a quick break for some sponsors. All right, sorry to cut it up in between, but I didn't want to forget about our sponsors that we love and appreciate here at the Locked On Wolves podcast. But like I was about to say, it was one of those weird spots where You desperately needed a win, but they were in this 5-game funk, and then you had the weekend craziness go down, and then you have players who are coming back who are going to be on the team but not quite there yet. Your first game back in Minnesota, maybe it's a trap game. The Nets have been playing kind of sneaky good this year, and they're a 6-win team, and maybe they catch the Timberwolves off guard in the midst of all this craziness and this trade craziness. And so there was a little bit of concern, at least when I was looking at this game, there was a little bit of concern that maybe this was one of those games where it ended up the Timberwolves lose this one by like 2 in the final 30 seconds of this game. It just slips. They blow like a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter, and it just slips away from them. And you got to give it to the Nets, even after a crazy nasty injury like LeVert, one of their starters going down. You still had D'Angelo Russell, 31 points. Their bench was really great. Spencer Dinwiddie had 14 points. You had DeMar Carroll with 11 points coming up. Both those guys coming off the bench. And Carroll shot 33% from the 3-point line, one of the best shooters from deep outside of Russell and Dudley. He was the 3rd best 3-point shooter, so he was coming off the bench, adding a little spark. They threw a few things at the Timberwolves, and the Timberwolves were just able to weather some stuff, fly past the Nets, get the victory. A really important victory in between getting rid of Butler and getting some new assets on this team and joining up with some new guys. Really important win to start out this homestand well and to just get that West Coast trip out of their heads, out of their minds. And again, I think having T back is important. I was surprised when in pregame stuff they were announcing him coming back because, again, I was looking at where was that? I believe it was the Las Vegas Review-Journal that had him listed as out for this game. And so it was good to have him back, good to have the full complement of point guards. And I loved the way Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague played off each other last night. Again, both those guys starting. And I really love the way they played off each other. You had in that fourth quarter just one a play. I mean, there's a lot of plays that they were playing well together. Both of them had over 20 points. But the one that really stood out to me was we had Derrick Rose in isolation knock down a shot from about 18 feet. And then they go down, they come back, and they have Derrick Rose or they have Teague with the ball, and then Derrick Rose kind of goes to almost like he's going to set a screen and then plays off of Teague's defender. And because of that movement to that same spot where he made the shot, the possession before, the defense kind of shifts, and you have Teague use his speed from the top of the key, dash down, and get an easy layup. Just playing off each other like that, I think that there's plenty. I said this last year. I pounded the table last year saying that there's plenty of ways that Derrick Rose, Teague, Tyus Jones, between these three point guards, you can always play two of these guys with really positive results. And it's exciting to see Derrick Rose and Teague not only play together, but play well together. And I'm hoping that means that Tibbs is seeing that and saying, all right, let's get more of these lineups in here. Let's get more of these two-guard lineups in here. Let's see what we can do with these guys, really play around with these guys, and let's see what happens when we have Covington and Okogie out there as well and with, like, Towns, and then throw two guards with that lineup, see what happens when we have a couple guys who are comfortable shooting a few threes in a game, or throw out Sarge and Covington and Towns out there with Rose and Teague, really stretch the floor, have all those three guys out on the three-point line and see what happens when we have Rose and Teague just victimizing defense by getting to the rim when they have those bigs stretching out and really opening up the paint. Just play around with lineups like that. It could be so fun. I get myself excited just thinking about the possibilities for this Timberwolves roster with these new guys coming in, with the three-point shooting specialists that they have coming in. And I think this game, above all else, if there's one thing I want you to take, or actually two things from this game, obviously bouncing back is one thing. But the second thing is the amount of creativity possible for this Timberwolves lineup is mouthwateringly tantalizing. And it would be criminal if they don't take advantage of it. I really hope they do. I really do. I really do. And if they don't, it's going to be insanely depressing. But there is a lot of fun things you can do now that Robert Covington and Dario Saric are going to be on this team. A lot of fun lineups with the guys here and with the guys coming in. And the reason this team doesn't make the playoffs is if they're not creative and if they play stupid. That's the only way they don't make the playoffs. If they are not creative and they play stupid. And while that may be obvious for a lot of teams, the talent on this team and the mix of talent that you have, the healthy mix of talent combined with the new style of offense that you're seeing, the new way that these guys are playing offensively, this is a playoff team. Don't be silly. This is a playoff team, and they should make the playoffs. Let's see it, Tibbs. Let's see creativity. And you know what? The defensive mantra is gone. You're not a defensive coach because this defense sucks. This defense sucks balls. So be something else. Be creative. Really learn offense. Really learn how you can maximize this offense, because you're not maximizing anybody's defense. You're not helping anybody on defense. So add something else to this roster. Learn all you can about how to and really study the lineups you have. Really learn how to play these guys with maximum efficiency in different lineups and be creative and help this team out this way, because you're not helping them out with defense. Gosh, this could be really fun. Could be really fun, guys. All right. We are going to talk more about Covington and Sarge tomorrow and get you ready for the Timberwolves game. Coming up, again, this is a homestand. They have, why is my memory escaping me? They have, I know they have the Pelicans tomorrow and then the Blazers. And they have somebody, a third, I cannot remember. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really sorry. I cannot remember who their fourth team after that is at home. But I know they have the Pelicans for a fact tomorrow and then the Blazers at the end of the week. So those will be the games we're getting you ready for this week on the show. Thank you so much for listening, tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.